This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Professor Brad Wilcox with us on the program this week. Professor Wilcox is director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, senior fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, and a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he directs the Home Economics Project. Professor Wilcox is co-author of a new report from the American Enterprise Institute entitled For Richer, For Poorer, How Family Structures Economic Success in America. We're going to be talking with Professor Wilcox about some of the key findings in this new report. Professor Wilcox, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here today.
Well, we appreciate your time and the great insights in this report. Now, a key finding of this report, For Richer, For Poorer, is that the nearly one-third of the growth in economic inequality can be attributed to the breakdown in the American family. Now, we rarely hear discussions about the role that family structure, and particularly marriage, plays in the economic outlook of America. Why is marriage such an integral piece of the economic puzzle, and why is it so often overlooked or even ignored by others who study the economy?
You know, that's a great question. I think that, you know, marriage for time immemorial has been an institution that helps people build a better economic future together. And, you know, today people can pool their income when they get married. And so financially what we see is that, you know, married families tend to do better. We also see, too, in the report as well that married men especially are more likely to work more hours and make more money compared to single male peers, or even male peers who have kids but are not living with the mother of those children. So marriage, you know, basically boosts families' economic well-being in a number of different ways, as the report makes clear. But I think it's hard for people on the left, in the media, in the academy, and in public policy circles to kind of acknowledge the connection between marriage and economic success in America for two reasons. I think number one is, you know, they're concerned about stigmatizing single parents, stigmatizing non-traditional families. And the second point, though, I think is that they have the view that really nothing can be done to strengthen marriage in America. And given that reality, you know, in their view, what we should try to do is to help people who are in single-parent families and other non-traditional families, you know, achieve a better economic level of well-being in that new reality. And so they don't want to focus really on marriage per se, because they think that nothing really can be done to strengthen or renew the fortunes of marriage in America.
Well, I know in the report you argue that the retreat from marriage has played a major role in changing economic fortunes of American family life. Explain what you mean by the retreat from marriage and how this impacted family fortunes in America.
Well, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, the vast majority of American adults were married, and there were no major class divides in marriage. I mean, if you were rich, if you were middle class, if you were working class American, you know, you were likely to get and stay married in America in the 1960s. But obviously all that changes in the wake of the cultural and economic shifts of the 70s and late 60s. And since then, what we've seen happen is that fewer Americans are getting married and staying married. But what many folks don't realize is that this kind of retreat from marriage, where once again fewer Americans are getting married, staying married, is really concentrated today among not just poor Americans, but working class and lower middle class Americans. By contrast, college educated Americans are actually doing pretty well. Their divorce rates have come down dramatically since 1980, since the height of the divorce revolution. So college-educated Americans have kind of gotten their act together on the marriage front. The worry here, though, is that Americans who don't have that college degree, including in North Carolina, are much more likely today to cohabit, to have kids outside of marriage, to experience a kind of relationship carousel or go-round, and their kids are caught up in all this instability in ways that are bad for the kids, but also, frankly, bad for the adults, too.
Professor Wilcox, you speak in the report of an intact family premium. Explain for us, if you will, what that means and why that is important.
What we find is that young adults, both young men and young women today, who are raised by their own two parents, are working about 160 hours more per year compared to their peers raised in a single parent family, and they're making personally between $4,000 and $6,000 more on average per year, and enjoying an even bigger amount of money when it comes to their family incomes compared to their peers raised in a single parent household. So the point here is that being raised in a stable, intact two-parent household gives kids more stability, better educational outcomes, fewer negative sort of detours in their lives. They're less likely to have a baby outside of wedlock, for instance. And all that means that they're better prepared by the time they hit their in their late 20s and early 30s to be working well in labor force and earning more money in labor force, because they've had a stable family background to kind of get them the best kind of start in life.
Well, and I know that in addition to the intact family premium, you speak about the benefits of marriage for men in particular who enjoy a substantial marriage premium. Talk about that, if you would, the substantial marriage premium that men enjoy as a result of being a part of that married family structure.
Yeah, I think, you know, in all these discussions about family, marriage, divorce, and the like, we often talk about, you know, kids as our primary object of concern. And I think that's definitely warranted. But I think you have to also recognize that what's happening to the family in America today has implications both for the emotional and the social and economic well-being of women, and even in some ways more so for men. And so the point about men is this, is that when men get married, and this I'm paraphrasing George Akerlof, who's an economist and a Nobel laureate, both at Berkeley and Brookings. And what Akerlof has observed, basically, is that when men get married, they settle down. And when men fail to get married, they fail to settle down. And, you know, this may seem like an old-fashioned notion, you know, of no relevance to 2014, but it still is empirically a fact. That we see in our report, for instance, that when men get married, they work more hours and they make more money as a consequence. We also see in other research that when men get married, they tend to attend bars less and churches more. And we see, you know, in other work that when men get married, they tend to reduce the risky behavior that can put them at risk for any number of negative health outcomes. So the point here is that simply that, you know, marriage gives men access to routines, responsibilities, and relationships that on the whole make them better men. Now, of course, there are plenty of, you know, exceptions. We all know that, you know. But I'm saying that on average, marriage tends to be good for guys. And so one reason we should be concerned about the retreat from marriage is it's making a lot more guys in those communities, you know, detached from families and from family lives that would otherwise kind of stabilize their lives and give their lives meaning, purpose, and direction that they don't currently have because they're not integrated into a stable married family.
Now, what about the role of public policy? I mean, the North Carolina Family Policy Council focuses a lot on public policy and working with our elected officials to establish policies that promote the family and the marital structure. And clearly, those policies do have an effect on the culture. From your perspective, and particularly from the standpoint of the issues that you looked at in this report, what are some of the specific policies that can help to strengthen the economic prospects of lower and middle income families?
Well, yeah, I think one key rule is, first, do no harm. And I think what, you know, what the state of North Carolina should be attentive to is the way in which particular public policies regarding, say, Medicaid or TANF, these are welfare policy, do they basically penalize North Carolinians from, you know, from getting married? I know a couple in Virginia, for instance, working class couple who were thinking about getting married, but they're expecting a baby, and they realize that if they're expecting Medicaid to pay for the birth of that child, and if they were to get married, they would lose, you know, their ability to get that Medicaid benefit. So I think that, you know, that the lawmakers and the governor in North Carolina should be attentive to any latitude that they have in terms of these policies to try to minimize or eliminate the marriage penalties, you know, embedded in a lot of these public policies. That's point number one. Point number two is to do a lot more when it comes to good vocational education and good apprenticeship opportunities. There's actually been a lot of movement on that score in South Carolina, connecting a lot of South Carolinians to a lot of the new companies moving into South Carolina. And that's, of course, important because it means a lot of younger adults, including young men, are getting access to jobs that make them more attractive as potential husbands, or if they're already married, you know, makes them more economically valuable to their families. And it's also recognizing, you know, most Americans even today don't actually get a college degree. So much of our focus is on trying to get people to get a BA or BS, but there are plenty of jobs, you know, plumbers, electricians, advanced manufacturing folks, IT folks, you know, who make better money, you know, than many folks who've gotten a BA. And I think, you know, the states, including North Carolina, should do more to connect young adults to those good middle skill job opportunities. And then finally, I think in terms of looking at the public policy agenda here, sponsoring PSAs, you know, public service announcements and the like, around any number of questions and issues, they should be very clear in communicating the message to young adults in North Carolina that families are more likely to flourish when young adults finish at least a high school degree, find a job, get married, and then have kids in that order. If they pursue that success sequence, they are much more likely to move into the middle class, stay in the middle class, and to avoid poverty than if they get that sequence wrong. And I think, you know, it's a fact, and it's one that the states could do a better job of in many places of communicating.
Well, I love the idea of that success sequence, that there are certain things that we ought to strive as young people to do that will lead, not inevitably necessarily, not guaranteed, but will put all the pieces in place for what has proven to be success in the future. What beyond the government, what about the other civic institutions and organizations like churches, schools, civic groups, what can they do to help encourage youth to, first of all, acknowledge that success sequence and then pursue it in a way that will be productive for their future?
Well, I think certainly on the civic front, that includes religious institutions, there are two big points I'd make. The number one point is that what we've seen since the 70s, unfortunately, Americans who don't have a college degree are much less likely to be meaningfully engaged in our civic institutions, including our churches. And so I think it's incumbent upon, for instance, churches to do a much better job of reaching out to working class, you know, lower middle class, and poor Americans, particularly the men, who are often the most detached in those communities from churches, and to think really intentionally about what can we do to make our church community more welcoming to some of the ordinary guys in our community. Because if they can reach them and integrate them into the life of their communities, that's going to have a big impact not only on those guys, but on the families that those men have already formed or will form. Job two is to really do a lot better, I think, education from the pulpit and from other venues of, you know, ordinary lay members of the churches, to basically teach them, you know, about the importance of marriage for adults and for kids, you know, so that people realize when they're talking, trying to encourage their kids to, you know, to stay on the right path, so that their kids are equipped to understand that, you know, look, yeah, education matters. Yeah, the job matters. But it's also the case, too, that if you sequence how you do marriage and parenthood, your odds of forging a stable family are much better. And your odds of being financially secure, you know, in midlife are much better. You know, I think the churches can try to do more to kind of communicate this research in a winsome and accessible way to their members, too. So those are some ideas that I think, you know, that the voluntary or the civil or the religious sectors, you know, should also take to heart.
Well, thank you for that. That's really important for us to consider. Professor Wilcox, unfortunately, we are out of time for this week, but before we leave, I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to obtain a copy of your excellent new report, For Richer, For Poorer, and also where they can learn more about the American Enterprise Institute and also the National Marriage Project.
Sure. Well, they can go to the AEI.org website for the report and for more on the American Enterprise Institute. And then I'm on Twitter at WilcoxMMP.
Great. Well, Professor Brad Wilcox, thank you so much for being back with us on Family Policy Matters, for your time and your great work promoting marriage in our society. We are truly grateful.
It's my pleasure to be on the show once again.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.